Welcome back to the Paranorm Girl podcast. I am your host, Kristen. Paul Freeman was a skeptic before he was a believer in Bigfoot. 'Tis true. And he became not just a believer, but a knower, because he saw them. And nobody believed him. So he committed himself to the hunt, casting footprints, deepening his research, and he was ridiculed. So then he caught him on camera. And people cried, fake, all fake, liar. When a capture of the creature on film, and a good capture at that, should have invited more curiosity and an opening of minds to his previous evidence and his claims of encountering his first in 82. This piece of evidence, often disingenuously pined after by the skeptical, did not receive the attention and praise that it probably should have. And even now, 30 years later, hardcore Bigfooters scoff at it. This is in part due to a misunderstood piece of Paul Freeman lore that he had admitted to being a hoaxer. This is not true. He had, however, made a mortal error in judgment by admitting during a televised Good Morning America interview prior to his 92 capture that he had created fake Bigfoot feet so that he could compare them to the prints that he was finding and casting to decipher the difference between legitimate and a hoaxer's attempt. And that is just a fair, logical thing to do, I think. But people were quick to jump on the soundbite, and a murky cloud was cast over all of the evidence he had ever produced or would ever produce. He's a faker. Look, he admitted it. End of story. So here we are, 3 decades later. Paul is long gone, and we have this absolutely incredible piece of footage, something I have personally come to think of as the other PGF. And people are divided because of a soundbite and because he was just too lucky with all of the footprints he was finding. And as good as his video actually is, we don't know what we are looking for when we watch these videos. That is just a fact. Most folks watching these videos, criticizing them online, don't actually know what they are looking for because they have never seen a Bigfoot and don't know what they look like. Now, I spoke about this footage early on in the season, and I spoke to the reasons that I felt why it is authentic. And not only do I still hold that opinion, but more so now, after having listened to his son talk at Squatch Fest, and the reveal from enhanced footage of a whole-ass other Sasquatch in that film that I hadn't noticed before. Neither had Paul Freeman until 8 years after it was filmed. It was hiding in plain sight. Now, I already believed the authenticity, like I said, but sitting next to me at Squatch Fest was my sister/producer, who had joined me on this trek, who walked into this convention as a courtesy more so to me, but certainly did not hold a belief in Sasquatch. It's crazy. It's nuts. Much like Paul Freeman before his initial encounter, it was all myth and legends. But as the video played, I felt her grow quiet, more focused, just watching, just watching. The first shot of the creature crosses the film. Oh, there he goes. She mumbles next to me, guy in a suit. Okay. It disappears out of frame. Freeman follows. There's a cut or adjustment further up the trail. He pans, and then there's two of them, I guess. He was referring to the one he had just seen, and then another he spotted as he panned. He turned out to be right and wrong. It is thought more likely the panned squatch is the same as the crossing squatch. However, upon enhancement, upon slowing it down, upon zooming it in, a long-held rumor about the film turned out to be true. there is a baby squatch being picked up or hopping up onto mom. A foot dangles, a head pops up from behind its motionless mother's back before they both disappear into the woods. And the moment we saw it on screen, before Michael on stage could say what it is we were even staring at, I heard a gasp next to me, followed by, "It's a fucking baby." And then she proceeded to slap the hell out of my arm in disbelief. Now, I didn't know this rumor when I first watched this clip. And had I never attended Michael Freeman's talk that day, I never would have known what that was all about. Because while the crossing squatch looks fairly decently clear, you know, the panning squatch and cargo pre-video enhancement are what we would call a bit blob squatchy. And blob squatch can be a pretty hard sell. Over the decades, hundreds have claimed to have sightings of Sasquatch. Many are far away, up on hillsides and across fields. Many are just too fast to decipher any usable description of features, dashing across roadways and appearing and just as quickly disappearing into the brush. But every so often, we hear a story of a sighting that is prolonged and near to the witness. "Why didn't you take a photo? Many listening to the story might ask. Most everyone walking around today carries a photo camera and a video camera right there in their pocket. In theory, there should be a pic for nearly every single damn sighting happening today. I have already touched upon my own thoughts as to why many encounters go undocumented photographically. In short, these encounters can be surprising, terrifying, and fleeting. But then, some witnesses have their camera within arm's reach, and enough wits about them to capture the moment, and enough time to complete the capture, and then proudly present to us a beautiful picture of blob squatch. Which is great and all, but it doesn't really do us much good, does it? Lucky for us, though, some are a bit more clearer than that, and actually give us the opportunity to sit and ponder the authenticity of what we are staring at. It is then up to us, at that point, to figure if we think it's cap or not. I have spent the last week really poring over the archive of Bigfoot footage available out there. I have had some surprising takeaways, both for and against the legitimacy of well-known and beloved clips. So I wanted to do a brief footage critique with you guys of the best capture I have seen outside of the PGF and the PFF, and the worst. Humbly, in my non-expert opinion, of course. And then, before the episode is over, I got something a little extra for you guys. Something special. It's some Bigfoot footage I discovered existed early on in the season, and I can't quite wrap my head around it still. But first, this episode is brought to you by the spring cleaning champions, Manscaped. This season, make sure the man in your life grooms his carpets and his drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Have him clear out that winter bush with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and watch his confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. Embrace the season and have him join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our special offer. Go to manscaped.com and use code PNG for 20% off plus free shipping. Break out your scrubby brushes and vacuums. It is officially spring, baby. Time to toss, condense, and clean. That goes for your house. That goes for the occupants inside that house. Spring represents new beginnings and fresh, clean starts. Manscaped has the tools that will make your fella's personal spring cleaning super easy and efficient and make all lives easier when it comes time to clean and pick up. No messy drawers with the compact lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. No mess of hair all over the floor and the sink. One of the coolest features of the lawnmower, it is waterproof. You can trim in the shower. And if he's looking for the full spring clean experience, check out Manscaped's signature Beard Hedger Pro Kit and Handyman Electric Face Shaver. Looking bright and shiny, dudes. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code PNG at manscaped.com. That is 20% off and free shipping with the code PNG at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in his pants, ladies. Manscaped, always a good time. All right, let's start this footage critique off with one that some could argue is a literal blob squatch, but I think is actually clearer than most. The Stacy Brown Jr. and Sr. thermal capture. So I recently watched Stacy Brown Jr.'s documentary called The Skunk Ape Lives, wherein his father, who actually captured the footage, relayed a very detailed account of what led up to that moment, why they were out there, and what happened. So most of this is going to come directly from his accounting of it. On Tuesday, May 8th, 2012, it had been raining all day. Stacy Jr. and friends had been camping out in Torreya State Park, and he had told his dad that they were hearing some strange noises out there. And Torreya State Park is a known hotspot for Bigfoot activity. There had been other recent reports, and Stacy Jr. and his buddies recently had had something large approach their camp and walk around them. They didn't know what it was, but Stacy Jr. by this point had already been fascinated with Bigfoot since he was a kid, so I imagine his thoughts included a possibility for Skunk Ape. He had asked his father previously if he and his friends could borrow his dad's FLIR, or forward-looking infrared camera, to take out there with them, and had always been told no. It was an expensive camera. However, Stacy Sr., when he was finally available, would accompany his son out there and bring the thermal along. So, come May 8th, with his wife out of the house, Senior was going to have the evening all to himself, so he called up his son and said, "Tonight's the night, now or never." So they proceed to Torreya State Park. It had just stopped raining as they pulled up. There was no one else in the area. They grabbed their stuff and began hiking into the woods the mile to their campsite. Upon arrival, Junior would tell Senior exactly how he and his friends had the setup previously when they would hear the noises. So they proceeded to replicate the scene. They had the campfire going, music playing, they cooked their dinner. As Cliff Berrickman describes it on his website, they were taking a passive approach. No knocking and hoping for a knock back, no Bigfoot calls, hoping for a response. They would just go about their business and wait. They didn't have to wait too long before they heard knocking. Junior says, see, that's it. That's what we're hearing. And I've read other people's retelling of this story that the Browns were Bigfooters, that they were out there Bigfooting. But at this point in the story, Senior says he had to ask his son what a knock was, like what did that mean? So I don't think, at least for Senior, that he was very familiar with this kind of stuff, let alone a Bigfooter, by the time this event occurred. So Junior explains knocking, and then a few minutes later, Senior says he heard a grumbling, a growling. And he expected, upon investigation, all they would find was going to be some little forest critter. Turning up the music to cover their own noise, they head out without lights into the pitch-black forest to investigate the source of the sounds and hopefully spook out of hiding whatever it is. Stacy Sr. leads the way, guiding his son, who's got a hold of his shoulder. Junior has a small handheld with night vision, while Senior is looking through his thermal with the settings turned to black heat rather than white heat. He explained his decision to do this was due to the recent rain and now the wet aftermath of that rain completely blowing and blurring their surroundings out, making it impossible to see anything. So he's got it turned to black heat. Anything with a heat signature is going to pop up black on his screen. They walked like this towards the sounds, intermittently stopping long enough to listen for it before continuing forward away from camp. After 15 or so minutes of creeping through these dark woods, Senior spots a heat signature through the thermal about 50 yards away. He said, from the look of it, his first thought was there was a raccoon higher up in a tree, and he was looking at its head poking out and kind of bobbing up and down a little. He steadied the flare and noticed a heat signature on the opposite side of the tree. Still thinking it was a raccoon, he would step in such a way to try and capture a clearer picture of the animal around the other side of the tree. But as he stepped, he kicked the stalk of a palmetto bush, making a loud pop sound. And this did the trick. They got their wish, and the animal was indeed spooked out of hiding. When it stepped swiftly away from the tree, Senior quickly realized, not a raccoon. A tall humanoid silhouette with broad shoulders and no neck took a single, very long stride out from behind the tree, its incredibly long arm trailing it, bringing itself into full frame before it took its next long stride behind brush, out of sight. It would not be seen again. Stacy Sr. said in the doc that what he saw was unexpected. He was overcome with sudden fear at what he witnessed, and the realization that whatever the large animal was, it was staring right at them, able to see and watch them while they couldn't see their hands in front of their faces, save through the thermal camera. He panicked when he thought the creature, having stepped in the direction from whence they came, was going to try and cut them off and get them. He told Stacy Jr., well, you know, we got to go. We got to go back. I saw something, but the battery died. Let's go get more batteries. This was a lie, of course, but he said he went into panic mode and just needed to get them the heck out of there. So once back, Senior instructed Junior to take a look at what he had captured, handing over the camera, saying, hey, you know, if he and his buddies wanted to go back out there, they were free to take it with them, but he would not be going. He didn't care. He was genuinely freaked out and just wanted to get their stuff and go. A few months following the capture, they would reach out to Cliff Berrickman to analyze the footage, and their story would be featured on an episode of Finding Bigfoot, where they would go do a recreation with Bobo at 6'4", standing in for the creature. The analysis revealed some pretty interesting details. It is clear to see from the footage that this is no other forest animal. It's either human or Bigfoot, period. Why it's unlikely to be human. Here we go. The figure is clearly much broader and bulkier than the human stand-in, but when comparing the two heights side by side and running calculations based on its step length, Cliff Berrickman was able to arrive at a ballpark height range, with the average height coming in at 8'4" tall. What was its step length? I'll tell you. This figure had an almost 5-foot-long step length. Try taking that big of a step and tell me how comfortable that is. Next, it is noted how low on the shoulders the head seems to sit. This no-neck observation has been reported countless times in eyewitness stories. The skeptical argument on this would be it's a human in a suit wearing shoulder pads. However, thanks to a trailing and, again, very long arm, that the creature extends at shoulder height as it's holding the tree as it steps into full view. The footage shows the arm's extension coming directly out from its shoulder. If it were a shoulder pad, the arm's extension point would be well below the shoulder, and we would clearly see that. The figure is also noted to be moving with a compliant gait, with bent knees. And another feature that experts in the field have found time and time again can be seen in the figure's trailing bent leg. Its knee is cocked at a nearly 90-degree angle, something we can also see in the Patterson-Gimlin footage. All of this information gathered from a single step. Experts and scientists who have been working diligently to put these types of repeatable features together over the decades have been working so hard to get to the point of knowing exactly what to look for, which calculations to run. I just find it so incredible and really impressive. Skeptics have a lot of work to do to catch up to that level of observation. Personally, I am convinced that this footage is authentic. I am not so convinced of the following, however. I think this one, though, does hold great value to us who are looking to these videos for signs of hoaxery versus legitimacy, and is a really good example of just how and why it is so difficult to pull off a fake Bigfoot video, having to remember all of the pieces that must come into play. I know I'm not alone in my doubt with this one, but I also know a lot of the Bigfoot world really likes it and does think it's the real deal. I am talking about the Independence Day Bigfoot footage. This one had me yelling at my computer screen. I was a wee bit mad. Just because I had heard so many good things about it, how real it was, how close and clear it is. So I was looking forward to it, thinking, yeah, this is going to be another yes for me. No. The big problem with it, for me, stuck out like a sore thumb. And then once I noticed that, I was able to go back through it again and see the other issues I was probably willing to overlook in the first place. So the clip is pretty simple. A Bigfoot comes up from hiding behind a rock. It carefully makes its way over behind some other rocks, ducks behind them, pops back up, holding its baby, pauses, assessing the camera person, and then quickly disappears off to the left behind some bushes. Okay. The moment I yelled was when it started running with its baby. That baby is one stiff-ass little baby, like it's a doll or something. Not once does it turn its head, move its neck, open its mouth, grab for something. Babies be notorious for grabbing at stuff. Babies are wiggly. They're floppy. And did I mention not stiff as a board? Never in the history of alive primate babies has a baby ever been so obviously not real. Okay. I think I got my frustration out with that part. Now, upon closer reflection, no. You know what? Why would you hold your baby that far away from your body so consistently? Don't you think since you're running, you should pull it into your body? Doesn't that seem more natural than holding it a foot away from you at all times? Is it because the arm that is now attached to your body via Velcro is stiff and won't bend, so you literally can't pull it any closer? Okay. Now I'm done. But like, where is the compliant gait? I think there was an attempt at it, but there is something irking me about the walk. It's just not right. Maybe it's the arms. I don't know. It kind of reminds me, the way that this thing moves, it reminds me of how a chimp walks when they do that, like, quick, like, skirting across the ground on two legs. I don't know, not what I would expect if I'm allowed to make comparisons between the gold standard of the PGF, my gold standard, the PFF, the Stacy Brown Thermal. There's compliance and a tilt, and the arms are right in these examples. Not this, though. Speaking of arms, they look to be too short to me. That's another thing. Why did the camera start to pan before the Bigfoot first popped up their head? A-plus for rehearsal and all, but dang, that felt rehearsed. Also, where is the backstory on this clip? Does anybody actually have any information on who shot this? Where it was shot? What year was it shot? What led up to this? I'm not pleased that I believe a hoax is being perpetrated with the Independence Day footage and that a lot of people are being tricked by it. I don't like it. That's all I got to say on it, really, I guess. There's not much to say about it, you know? If anyone listening knows more about the film, I am happy to give it another go and consider other ideas about it. But for me, right now, I do not believe it to be authentic. See, I do in fact have the ability to be super skeptical. All right. So this is where I would end the episode. Probably should end the episode. But there's some other footage floating around out there and it needs to be addressed. More than that, I just need to talk about it to somebody. So, listen to this. Pornhub. Oh my God. Okay. Pornhub reported an 8,037% rise in searches on their site containing the word Bigfoot in July of 2018. X-Hamster reported a nearly 1,000% increase on their platform. These jumps occurred following a public accusation that Republican runner for Virginia's 5th Congressional District, Denver Riggleman, was a devotee of Bigfoot erotica. He would later respond that that, of course, was absurd. His Bigfoot-related books were something else entirely. Bigfoot is not real, but the damage was done. Not for him. No. He ended up winning the race. But the secret was out there. Bigfoot porn is a thing. And has been a thing since the 70s, apparently. I shouldn't have been as surprised as I was, but damn, dudes. What the heck is going on out there? And not just monster smut on videotape. But the market for self-published Bigfoot erotica does very well for itself. In 2014, one such indie author reported a monthly income of $30,000 due to proceeds of her 16-part Bigfoot erotica series. If your math is mathing correctly, you'll realize that that is $360,000 a year. For writing about happy and satisfied Bigfoots. I am in the wrong line of work here. Does this have anything to do with my quest for the truth about Sasquatch? No, not at all. Does it even have anything to do with legitimately analyzing Bigfoot footage? It was a very weak thread tying it to this episode to begin with. Also, no, it doesn't. This was just one of those unavoidable pieces of information that I came across in the research. I thought it was rather interesting and unexpected deviation on Bigfoot footage. And you know what? Who knows? Who knows? Perhaps within its murky depths, there is a very real, valid connection to Bigfoot captures and our ongoing, tireless search for this creature. and continued gathering of evidence, and the mesmerizing effects of watching one on film. Maybe it speaks to this underlying fetish that we all still have in our primal brains for a wildness within ourselves, lost as civilization continues to grow, further crowding it out and away. Let us accept that cryptids doing compromising things in campers and the people who love them can teach us valuable lessons in acceptance and tolerance. In a world rife with division and discord, where one's worth is often measured by arbitrary standards of normalcy, Bigfoot erotica stands as a beacon of inclusivity. No thing too outlandish, no fantasy too far-fetched. And does it allow us to dream, to think bigger, to imagine there may be a large, hairy beast roaming free and wild out there? Whether you find Bigfoot in a pixelated blob darting across a trail cam in the Pacific Northwest, or on screen with Prudence and her great erotic Bigfoot adventures, may we confidently stand by our personal golden standards of footage that have captured that dream to tape. And with some luck, may we find a little Bigfoot inside of us all. May we also ask Virginia, though, like, what is up, y'all? You be searching Bigfoot porn a lot, like a lot. You know, websites track that kind of information, right? What's up? Virginia, that is all I've got for you today, folks. Join me next week for a fascinating discussion and exploration with the owner of the very haunted Boyd House out of Minnesota, Ms. Jill Shelley. Cannot wait to share that one with you. Tune in April 6, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, 7:30 p.m. Eastern for the third episode of my new live-streamed epic show, Beer, Booze, and Boogeymen, for a discussion about spooky AI and haunted electronics. Gonna be a fantastic show. We will be accepting your live calls, but of course, drinking beer and just having a freaking awesome time, as always. If you prefer to submit your story to be read during the stream, you can head over to ghost.beer and be sure to catch the live on the Paranorm Girl and the Black Cat Report YouTube channels, as well as the new location, the Beer, Booze, and Boogeyman TikTok page. Follow the show at Paranorm Girl Pod on all socials. Get early ad-free access to these episodes, merch, and your very own special shout out on the show by heading over to the Patreon and becoming a member. All pertinent links can be found below. That is a wrap for now. See you guys back here on Tuesday. Until then, stay safe, keep the nightlight on, and sleep with one eye open.